The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord God.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For a good bit of my adult life, there's been a lot of discussion, which I'll call political discussion, about the problem that people are sheep. I hear this all the time. People are sheep. In fact, they even made a word up called sheeple, right? Sheeple. And based on this criticism, it's clear to me that I should view this as a bad thing. But I'm more shaped by the Bible than politics. And let me tell you what the Bible says about people. People are sheep. That's what the Bible says. Over and over, God reveals through the scriptures that we are sheep and he is the shepherd. Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. We just read it. The Bible describes Israel's sheep and talks about the rulers as shepherds. This morning, morning prayer, Jesus looks at the crowd and the disciple says, send them home. And we're told he views them as sheep without a shepherd. He says, we need to feed them. So here's what I'm going to say. Like it or not, people are sheep. Like it or not, we were created to follow. And we were created primarily to follow the divine shepherd. But the way God's ordered the world, it appears also human shepherds. So the issue isn't whether or not we're sheep. The issue is who's doing the shepherding. I looked up what it means to be a sheep. It means to be docile, compliant, and easy to influence. I'll give you another word for it. Obedience. To be docile, compliant, and easy to influence. Have any of you ever been in a situation you were responsible for people? Any of you? I got two heads now. And the rest of you have lived your whole life avoiding it. When you're in charge of a situation, do you want people constantly back talking and giving you guff and pushing back? I mean, the scenario I have in my mind is like there's someone coming in intending to do my family harm. And I'm not a tough guy. So we're going to have a very brief moment where I can hold this guy back. So if I say to my wife, get out of here, because I want to protect her, and she says, well, I don't like you telling me what to do. At some point I may say to him, you know what, rape her, kill her, do whatever you want, because apparently she's in charge here. If the shepherd's laying down his life for the sheep don't need to be complaining about being told what to do. And that's the dilemma we face. The proper orientation to God, the proper relationship with Jesus, is a sheep to a shepherd. Now, that's not just, and here's the human part of it. If you read John 21, which this cycle we don't read, but it's in other cycles of the year. After the resurrection, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, you know I love you. And then Jesus says some variation of, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, care of my lambs. I mean, but it's all about you be a shepherd and take care of the sheep. Now, this same Peter writes in his letter about being shepherds, pastors to the leaders. And that same Peter today in Acts is standing before rulers, elders, and scribes, or what we would call shepherds, the shepherds of Jerusalem. And he's before them, and he's being questioned because he has performed a miraculous healing. And so they ask him, by what authority, by what shepherd, by what authority, and in whose name, what's the name of your shepherd, are you doing this? And Peter says, Jesus. And then he goes on to say exactly what I told you last week. Your witness is Jesus, who was crucified and raised. That's his witness. Jesus, and he kind of makes it personal. He says, who you killed, who you shepherds killed, and who God raised. That's whose name, whose power I perform this saving and healing. And then he goes on to say, there's no other name, which causes a great deal of consternation among many in the church today. Because we don't want to be, you know, irritating people by claiming any truth when they're not Christians. We're not claiming anything about Christians. Basically, we're sheep. That's not a lot to brag about. All right? We're just sheep, but our shepherd is the shepherd, and that's what we witness to. So how then, and I know some people like being told they're supposed to be sheep, but how then do we live? So the Anglicanism, we said, is the Benedictine model. I'm spelling it out for you. In my waning years, I'm trying to make clear, but it's clear in the head what all this St. Benedict talk is. So when St. Benedict set up how a monastery is going to run, the first thing he establishes the role of the abbot. Now, you may know the word abbot as dad or father. Okay, so an abbot is a father. And he says the abbot has absolute authority in that monastery. And so all the monks are supposed to give obedience to the abbot. Which sounds, I know, like Nazi Germany, and a lot of you get nervous about that. But what he says is the abbot is also to have mutual obedience to the group. So they are both living in mutual obedience, which starts sounding like Paul's understanding of marriage, right? Everybody knows the part where it says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. They don't like it, but they know it. Well, I guess some guys like it. But what they all ignore is the first verse, which says, husbands and wives, be subservient to one another. That verse always disappears in the discussion. Be subservient to one another. He's saying in the church, which is what a monastery is, it's a tight church where they live together. Be obedient to one another because you're obedient to Christ. And whoever's discerning the voice of Christ in the community speaks the word of Christ. So together, in prayer and conversion, we hang out here together constantly trying to work together, all of us sheep, and yet me being a shepherd, and you not, and that's why I preach. I mean, it's like if you all said, well, this week we decide we're going to preach, there'd be a problem. There'd be a problem. So we have to have this relationship, but there's also a problem if I don't get feedback. And don't worry, I get it. I get it all over the place in all different ways, and that's the purpose. We're supposed to be doing that. So we do not embrace this radical autonomy of individualism which infects the modern world. When I hear people say, well, I'm not a sheep, I'm not a sheep, I think it's a tragedy. Because the worst thing in the world a lamb can do is think they're fine on their own. And let me tell you the story Jesus told about the sheep who said, I'm not a sheep. He was lost in the wilderness, wandering around. And that's what ends up happening. And here's why. And this is from the Enneagram. So just remember what the Enneagram teaches us. Every single person in this room is unconsciously driven, without being aware of it, of wounds from their childhood, vices and passions, which control our choices and dictate what we say and do. And the absolute worst vices are the ones that masquerade as virtues. Where we're just saying, I'm just being, you know, I'm just going to have to be honest here. Actually, you don't. You could just shut your mouth and pretend like you don't know everything. All right? That would be fine. But we think we're being virtuous when we're saying these hard things. So with that in mind, if we're all wounded and we're all broken, that we're all sheep, and if wolves are real, all right? And what are wolves? Spiritual powers, the gods, the demons, you know, like the god of war who's over in the Middle East right now. Do you think if Persia and Israel go to war, it's going to have any effect on us? Do you think if there's a nuclear exchange that maybe that could impact our vacation plans this summer? All right? So we're going to turn the heat down, aren't we? Everybody's out there dying. Can we make the heat go off for a second here? I'm afraid my whole parish is going to die. Right. All my sheep are going to die. And if you come back and complain it's cold, I'm just going to tell you, stop bleeding. All right. So we have wolves, spiritual powers, gods, and demons which exert their influence and devour our communities and devour our souls. They eat us up, right? And I think when a lamb fails to recognize who and what it is, it leads to an arrogant pride which causes real, real problems. So in conclusion, we're all distracted now by the heat. We're sheep, like it or not, we're sheep. And as a part of this flock, we're going to have salvation and healing in Jesus' name. And that's the only place we're going to find it. And we need to obey his commands, and we need to love one another. And all sheep are different in this flock, and not all are as lovable for each of us necessarily as we'd like. And that's really too bad, because we're the flock. We are the flock together. And if Jesus dies for us, we have to die for one another. And so, are we sheeple? Yes. And I think that's great. Let us now stand.